Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Adhikadhadhar Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22.37 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Nandvat Pranam, all the best to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association and time this morning. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji, for very kindly organizing this call. My gratitude to Shama Gauri Mataji for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you this morning. Today we are going to read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, verse number 37. So let us begin by first chanting Mangalacharan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in this verse, the four Kumaras, Chatushkumar, they have come and they are instructing Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, being a very great and ideal king, he knew how to receive the devotees of the Lord. He received the four Kumaras very, very respectfully, and he gave them comfortable seats to sit down. He took water and personally washed their lotus feet, and then took that charanamrit, took that water, and sprinkled it upon his own head as a sign of respect and surrender. And he offered worship, he offered his obeisances to the four Kumaras, offered sweet words, and then requested them to instruct him. This is very important, my dear friends. Even great souls like Prithu Maharaj need gurus. We all need a guru in our life to instruct us as to what to do. And Sanat Kumar, who is on behalf of the other three brothers, started instructing Prithu Maharaj. And this is one of the verses that he spoke. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22.37. Sanat Kumar is saying, Tattvam Narendra Jagatam Athatashtu Shamcha Dehendriya Sudhishana Atma Bhiravritanam Yahakshetra Vitta Patayari Divishan Avi Pratyak Chakasti Bhagavan Tamavehi sosmi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Sanat Kumar advised King Prithu, "Therefore, my dear King Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart, along with the individual soul, in each and every body, either moving or not moving. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of the life air and intelligence." Before we go to the purport, let us chant Mangalacharan together. Because the purport we will read little bit, discuss, read little bit, discuss, like that. So let's chant Mangalacharan.
Om Ajnana Tirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरात्मसे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। I beg for the blessings of all the devotees who are listening, so that for the next few minutes, by the power of your blessings, I will become empowered and enlightened, and I will receive the ability to speak Harikatha in such a way that our hearts become purified and they become attracted to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is specifically advised that instead of wasting time in the human form of life, endeavoring for economic development and sense gratification, one should try to cultivate spiritual values by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is existing with the individual soul within everyone's heart. So, my dear friends, Prithu Maharaj is the king of the world. He's so great. He has performed so many yajnas. He has done so many good activities. Everybody loves him. He's very popular. He's in power. He's fulfilling all his duties very nicely. And moreover, he is an incarnation of Krishna. So, he is incarnation of the personality of Godhead. Very powerful. And yet, by his example, he's teaching us how it is important to have gurus in our life, both Diksha Guru as well as Shiksha Gurus. And not just any guru. The guru should be very qualified. Very qualified. Now, the four Kumaras, Sanat Kumar, Sanatan Kumar, Sanat Kumar, and Sananda Kumar, these four Kumars, four brothers, they are the sons of Brahmaji. They are Maishtik Brahmacharis. They are fully self-realized. And out of their own sweet will, they have decided to always remain 5 years old. Why is that? Because as we grow older, our senses become stronger and stronger. This is a fact. You see, a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old child will not have such strong desires to enjoy the senses in a very complex way. Their games are also very simple. Their stories are very simple. Their books are very simple. Their education is very simple. Their demands are very simple. They just want their parents, they just want love, and they want food. Some friends to play with, some toys to play with. Very simple. Those toys are also very simple. Just some dolls. Stories are very simple that they are reading, or the stories that they are told. Very simple. We can make up those stories. When we put them to sleep at night, we make up so many bedtime stories, or we tell them some very simple stories of Krishna, and they are happy. They just hug you and sleep. Very simple. But as we grow older, our demands increase and they become more and more complex. Now simple toys will not do. Now they want their own iPhone. They want their own gadgets. They want their own video games. And even the games that they play on the iPhone become more and more complex. First they will be satisfied with just simple games. Then they get bored of those games. Then they want more complex games, more intense video games. Then just going to a park and going down the slide, sitting on the swing is not enough. Now they want to go to a trampoline park. Then they want to go to an arcade where there are many, many video games, different bumping cars and those motorcycles, video games, you know, imaginary racing. Because now the mind wants more, gets bored of simple things. And then the demands for sense gratification become more and more complex. Now simple food will not do. All the friends are going to different restaurants. So I also want to go to a restaurant and eat. The home food will not do. Home, even exotic food at home will not be enough. Homemade pastas are not good enough. Homemade pizzas are not good enough. Homemade salads are not good enough. I want that from the restaurant. It's tastier. So as we grow, our demands become more and more complex and stronger. Because, why? Because the senses are becoming more and more strong, more and more uncontrolled. In the young age, we are just in the annamay push. Just want anna, food, love, and they are satisfied. But as they become, and the koshas develop, without proper guidance, the senses become more and more uncontrolled because they are becoming stronger. Imagine a horse. The baby horse can barely walk. But when the horse becomes full-grown adult, then it wants to run, it wants speed, it wants more food. The horse has become stronger. So all the more reason to train and control it. Similarly, as we grow, we enter middle school, we enter high school, college, university.
We are in our 20s, then 30s, like many of us, and 40s. The senses become stronger and stronger. So all the more reason to put a leash on them, to control them, to train them. Otherwise, now we have very strong, powerful senses which are completely untrained. Very bad situation, very dangerous situation. Therefore, spiritual practice, regulative principles, good sadhana, good association is very important, my dear friends. So the Kumar, the four Kumars, Chatush Kumar, they were aware of this pitfall. And therefore they took precaution and decided to remain innocent five-year-old boys. So therefore, we have to be aware of the possible pitfalls in our Krishna consciousness. That is very important. We should not be naive. We'll continue the purport. The individual soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in his Paramatma feature are both sitting within this body, which is covered by gross and subtle elements. So in our heart, both we, the spirit soul, as well as Krishna in the form of Paramatma, which is a manifestation of Shirodakshay Vishnu, are present. Ishvara sarva bhutanam mridadeshe arjuna tishthati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudani mayaya. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Ishvara sarva bhutanam mridadeshe arjuna tishthati, that the Ishvara is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. And brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. And this material body is made by Krishna's Maya, Mahamaya. And it is like a machine, yantra. And Brahmayan, through this yantra, machine-like body, the soul is traveling through different species.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you move a little closer to the phone? This today your voice is coming a little less.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Is it better now?
Yes, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you for pointing it out. So, our body is like a machine. And the soul is the owner of that machine, along with the Paramatma. Paramatma is the well-wisher and owner of the soul, Jivatma. And Jivatma has got this body as a gift from Krishna to do the right things. So just like we have a machine, yantra. For example, we buy a new car. Now the car may have different features. It may have a certain type of GPS navigation system. It may have certain type of Bluetooth with which we can connect our smartphone. It may have certain type of infotainment system. So all those things are there. The handbrake might be somewhere. The button to release, open the fuel tank may be located somewhere. Now all these things we need to figure out. How to set up the automatic voice controls. All that has to be figured out. And for that we have the user manual. Or even the salesman from whom we are buying the car will give us a demo and teach us. For any machine, just like a car, a new car, with the latest bells and whistles, latest gadgets, we need to understand how to use it properly. Then we can make the most out of it. Otherwise, for years, we'll be driving a car not knowing that it has a Bluetooth. And every time the phone rings, we are breaking the law by picking up the phone and saying, Hare Krishna, and sometimes we'll get a ticket. Why? Because we don't know how to use the Bluetooth. All the controls are there on the steering wheel. You can use it for the right purpose. You can use it to your advantage. Not that you want to be distracted while driving. But if we have to take the call, we can take it on the Bluetooth, on the speakerphone, loudspeaker, so we don't have to be distracted by holding the phone, looking at the phone, like that. So all these features are there, and we need to use them to our advantage. But to use them, we need the car manual. We need the
manual that comes with the machine, and also somebody to show us. Similarly, we have got this yantra, this machine of this human body, which is the best machine out of 8.4 million species. In this translation, in this verse, Sanat Kumar is saying, moving and non-moving living entities. Non-moving means the trees. They are also living, but they cannot move. They just have a different body. We eat with our hands. The trees eat with their legs. Because we take food and eat with our hands. And the trees are eating all the nutrients and water with their legs, which are the roots. So it's a different type of body. But we grow, the tree also grows. We are born, the tree is also born. We die, the tree also dies. So tree has all the symptoms of life. It's just a different species, different form. It is non-moving. And we are moving. We can walk, the animals, birds can move. So moving and non-moving species of life, they are all machines, yantra. Of all these machines, the best machine is the human machine, human body. Why? Because it's only in the human body that we can have Bhakti Sangha conference calls. It is only in the human form of life that we can go to our local ISKCON temple. It is only in the human form of life that we can chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra on Tulsi Mala. It is only with this yantra, this machine of human body, can we participate in Harinam Sankirtan. Can we read Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita? It is only in the human form of life that we can pray to Krishna, cry for Krishna. Therefore, this yantra of Manushya Deha, human body, is the best. It is the best model. Just like among cars, there may be some very high-end cars. They cost hundreds and thousands of dollars, $300,000, $400,000, ultra-luxury cars like Rolls-Royce, Bentley, Ferrari, all those cars. So among cars also there are ratings, number one, number two, number three, number 10. So human body is Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Ishwara Sarvabhutana Amrjadeshya Arjuna Tishtati. This human body, yantra, is the best among all the 8.4 million species. Please, let us understand this, my dear friends. All of us who are joining this Bhakti Sangha conference call, all of us who are listening with our ears that work, we must identify, we must recognize our good fortune. All of us are driving the best model available in 8.4 million species. How many models of cars are available today? Maybe several dozen, or maybe even several hundreds. But are there 8.4 million models of cars available for purchase? No. And there are so many models of cars which are beyond our budget. We cannot afford. But look at us. We are spiritual souls. Small parts of Krishna. Mamaya vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. We are struggling with this prakriti, this material nature, with our six senses. The five gross senses, eyes, nose, tongue, ears, and skin for touching, and mana. Mind is the sixth sense. Mana shashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. We are working very hard to enjoy, forgetting that Mamaya Vamsha Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are eternally Krishna's. We are eternally parts and parcels of Krishna. Forgetting our relationship, our sambandha with Krishna, we are struggling in this material world with this yantra body, trying to enjoy the senses that come with this body. We are just trying to enjoy the facilities of this body. Oh, this car is so good. It's got a heater, heated seats. It's got climate control. Oh, I can listen to different channels of radio, materialistic music, nonsense talk shows. Ahaha, what wonderful entertainment. I can play movies also. There is a DVD player. Wow.
once I was sitting with a doctor friend, that doctor had a Mercedes-Benz S550, an ultra-luxury sedan. And the seats, I was sitting in the passenger seat, it had massage. Just like we have those expensive massage chairs, which cost several thousand dollars, massage chairs. The seat in the car had a massage facility. It was giving massage. And this colleague was showing me how. So we can get engrossed in enjoying our senses and justify. It is available. Like you talk to some certain religious groups, they say you have to enjoy sex because God has given it. He has made the male and female bodies so that we can enjoy. God wants us to enjoy. If we are rejecting the facility for enjoying sex, we are insulting God. We are rejecting God's gift. It's like somebody gives us a gift on our birthday and we throw it away. I will not accept it. It's an insult to the person who is giving the gift. Similarly, God has given this male and female bodies with male and female genitals. If we don't enjoy and use this great gift of God, we are insulting God. One particular religious group says like this. So we must get married, and within the institution of marriage, we must enjoy sex. It's a gift of God. That's a very lower level of understanding. So the good thing is, at least they are remaining in the maryada of grihastha ashram. At least they are remaining within the boundaries of married household life. And they are chaste to one partner. Extramarital sex is illegal in that religion. Like all religions, it is called adultery. It is illegal. So at least some level of spiritual realization is there, but it's a lower level. The higher level is all types of sexual intercourse, unless it is for procuring a child, a God-conscious child, it is maya. It is illusion. It is sense gratification. And sense gratification simply makes us forgetful of who we are. Because when we are enjoying our senses, any of the six senses, either through watching something that we are not supposed to watch, some pornography or something, either eating something that is not offered to Krishna, Bhunjate tetu agam papa yah pachanti atma karanat. If you are eating something that has not been offered to Krishna, or you are smelling certain things which you are not supposed to smell, or which have not been offered to Krishna, certain fragrances, or we are trying to put some fragrances on us to impress the opposite sex, Hare Krishna. Or we are hearing some movies or talk shows or some mundane music which is not anukul for pure bhakti, which is not favorable for Krishna consciousness. Or with our sense of touch, touching with our hands, touching with our genitals, if we are enjoying our sense of touch illegally, Hare Krishna, that simply takes us away from Krishna. Or the sixth sense, mind. If mentally also we are thinking of breaking a regulative principle, mentally also we are just imagining some form of some opposite sex and enjoying, even with the mind, that is also breaking the regulative principles. What happens when we are engaging in sense gratification? Let us analyze this, my dear friends, today. What happens when we are gratifying our senses? Why indriya tripti, indriya bhog? Why sense gratification is not encouraged, not allowed? Why is it spoken against in Krishna consciousness? Why? What is the problem with sense gratification? What is the problem with enjoying our six senses? The problem, my dear friends, is very simple. When we are engaging in sense gratification, we are forgetting who we are. Hare Krishna. We are getting into a bodily conception of life. Jivera swarup hai Krishnara nitya das. Naham vipro na chanara patir napi vaishyo na shudro नाहं वर्णिनज गृहपतिर् नो वनस्थो यतिर्वा किन्तु प्रोद्यन् निखिल परमानन्द पूर्णामृताब्धेर् गोपी भर्तुर् पद कमलयोर् दास दास अनुदास. दिस इज अवर कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल पोजिशन that we are servant of the servant of the servant. We are servants of the servants of Krishna. This is our constitutional position. We are meant to gratify the senses of Krishna. But instead of doing that, we are gratifying our own senses. So we are forgetting our constitutional position and we are in illusion and we are in Maya. That is the problem. And the more we satisfy our senses in a materialistic way, the more we engage in non-Krishna conscious sense gratification, the stronger that tendency becomes to enjoy the senses. This is the science behind it. This is the psychology behind it. Every time we watch something that we are not supposed to watch, every time we eat something that we are not supposed to eat, we may be sitting in the association of devotees and eating ice cream that has not been offered, and we feel protected. We may be eating a popsicle that has not been offered to Krishna, and we are doing it with senior devotees, and we may feel protected. But that is an illusion, my dear friends. It is an illusion. We may not immediately sense it, but slowly and surely, Maya, like the crocodile who grabbed Gajendra, slowly but surely the crocodile is tightening the grip with its powerful jaws on us. Maya acts very subtly. It is not that I am sitting in a Bhakti Vriksha meeting, the prasadam is over, my tummy is filled with prasad, and for the kids, there are some popsicles which have not been offered. They have got all those artificial colors or whatever. And somehow the adults also say, okay, let's all have one popsicle. We are in the association of devotees. We just heard Harikatha. We just did Nam Sankirtan. We are protected. We are safe. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. We start having the popsicle, feeling that I am safe. Once we do that, it's not that as soon as we finish the popsicle, suddenly we are going to get lusty thoughts. Suddenly we are going to feel like eating meat or drinking alcohol or going to a casino. Or suddenly we are going to feel, now I don't want to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Or suddenly we are going to get inimical thoughts about other devotees and we are going to commit aparadh. No, my dear friends. If it was like that, then then bhakti would have been forced. For example, we do something wrong and cut, Krishna comes and slaps us immediately. Or Guru Maharaj comes and slaps us immediately. Then we will be scared to sin, to commit aparadh. And then it will be like having a gun on our head constantly and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh Krishna, I am yours. Oh Guru Maharaj, I am yours. I love you. I am your devotee. Please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With a gun to our head. But that is not love. Krishna is not hungry for Vaidya Bhakti. Krishna is hungry for Prema Bhakti. And Prema Bhakti is ahaituki. It is unmotivated. We are not performing bhakti because somebody has put a gun on our head. That is forced. That doesn't satisfy Krishna. It has to be ahaituki. It has to be spontaneous. Raganuga. It has to be voluntary. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. It cannot be forced on us. It cannot be forced on our children. It cannot be forced on our colleagues. It cannot be forced on the neighbors. It cannot be forced on the family members. No. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. By being good examples, by having good, sweet relationships, we can encourage and inspire devotees, inspire people to take up to Krishna consciousness. To take up Krishna consciousness. We cannot force. We cannot force. So therefore, it is very important to be careful about not breaking the regulative principles, even in small way. This is a fact, my dear friends. I'm speaking from my heart. I have made so many mistakes and have fallen down so many times. It is always because of decreasing the quality and quantity of bhajan and becoming careless with the regulative principles. We know what is right and what is wrong. All of us know. We know it is not right to eat in restaurants or eat outside food. But sometimes we are helpless. We are traveling and we order a giant meal on the aeroplane and we are hungry and we eat. We just need to remember that our spiritual progress is going to become more and more difficult. More and more difficult. Every time we do something that is unfavorable for bhakti. Because Sharanagati is what is dear to Krishna. It is Sharanagati which takes us to Krishna. And out of the six limbs of Sharanagati, two limbs are Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Varjanam. Doing what is favorable and not doing what is unfavorable. So if we are engaging in activities which are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, we are going away from the standard of Sharanagati. And without Sharanagati, we cannot get Krishna. Draupadi demonstrated Sharanagati in the Kuru Sabha. Jada Bharat demonstrated Sharanagati in his life as Jada Bharat by pretending to be mute and deaf. Gajendra demonstrated Sharanagati when he offered the lotus flower to Krishna and offered his beautiful prayers to Krishna. Sharanagati is shown by every successful devotee. Prahlad Maharaj showed Sharanagati every time he was attacked by Hiranyakashipu, by Shanda, Anarka, all those demons. Dhruv Maharaj demonstrated complete Sharanagati in Madhuvan when he was following the instructions of Narad Muni and doing his bhajan. Vritrasur demonstrated Sharanagati, remembering his mistakes as Chitraketu. He did not fall down. Bhishma Dev demonstrated complete Sharanagati on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and also on the bed of arrows. Every successful devotee lives a life of complete Sharanagati. There is no way around Sharanagati, around surrender. The gopis are personification of Sharanagati. The 8th verse of Shikshashtakam talks about Sharanagati. Sharanagati is everywhere. Dainya Atma Nivedana Gotritva Varana Avasharakshi Be Krishna Vishwasa Palavana Bhakti Anukula Matra Karyera Svikara Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjanangikara Shadanga Sharanagati Hoite Yahara Tahara Prarthana Shune Srinanda Kumara. These are the six limbs of Sharanagati. Dainya, being very humble. Atma Nivedana, completely surrendered to Krishna. Goptritva Varana, accepting Krishna as one's master. Accepting Krishna as our Lord. Sambandha, Krishna, Abhideya, Bhakti, Prem Prayojan. There is Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. Sambandha, our eternal relationship with Krishna, Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Ranityadas, Ishwara Parama Krishna. And Abhideya, the process is bhakti. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam, Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. This is bhakti, the process. And Prem Prayojan, Prema Puvarto Mahan. The perfection is to attain Krishna Prem. But Krishna Prem cannot be attained without Sharanagati. And Avashya Rakshive Krishna Vishwasa Palana. Having firm faith that Krishna will always protect me. Depending on Krishna, then we are not depending on our employer. We are not depending on our guns. We are not depending on our bank balance. All those things are there. They are Krishna's gifts. But ultimately the protector is Krishna. All these agents of Krishna will keep changing. But the constant common denominator is Krishna. Always. Avasha Rakshive Krishna Vishwasa Palana Bhakti Anukula Matra Karyara Svikara. Accepting those things which are favorable for bhakti and bhakti pratikula bhava varjanangikara. Varjan, giving up those things which are unfavorable for bhakti. This is very important. Only when we have these six limbs of Sharanagati with us and we are practicing them, then Krishna will listen to our prayers. Many times we say, we are praying, but Krishna is not listening to my prayers. Krishna is not answering my prayers. It is because we don't have Sharanagati. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in this bhajan on Sharanagati that Shadanga Sharanagati Hoite Yahara Tahara Prarthana Shune Srinanda Kumar. Srinanda Kumar, Nandanandan Krishna, Prarthana Shune, he will listen to your prayer. Shadanga Sharanagati Hoite Jahara. When you have these six limbs of Sharanagati, then he will listen to your prayer. And if we have Sharanagati, then we will not pray for something that is bhakti pratikul, that is unfavorable for bhakti. Right? So if we have Sharanagati, then we will not pray for money, job, wealth, comforts, luxuries. Because that is pratikul for bhakti. Why? Because what is bhakti? What is bhakti? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adi anavratam anukullena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Uttama bhakti means anyabhilashita shunyam. Like that. So these are the important things that we should remember. We'll continue with the purport. To understand this is to attain actual spiritual culture. To understand that we are spirit soul and our individual relationship with Krishna. The impersonalist comes to the conclusion that he and the Supreme Spirit are one. Whereas devotees or personalists realize the absolute truth by understanding that because the absolute truth is the supreme predominator and we living entities are predominated, our duty is to serve him. The Vedic injunctions say, Tattvamasi, you are the same, and Soham, I am the same. The impersonalist conception of these mantras is that the Supreme Lord or the Absolute Truth and the living entity are one. But from the devotee's point of view, these mantras assert that both the Supreme Lord and ourselves are of the same quality. Tattvamasi, I am Atma Brahma. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are spirit. Understanding this is self-realization. The human form of life is meant for understanding the Supreme Lord and oneself by spiritual cultivation of knowledge. One should not waste valuable life simply engaging in economic development and sense gratification. See, Prabhupada is saying we should not waste our life in simply economic development and sense gratification. My dear friends, it is a fact that when we become serious in Krishna consciousness, there will be some lack of taste in economic development and sense gratification. It is a fallacy to say that you can become a sincere devotee of Krishna and still maintain your fire for sense gratification and economic development. Let me elaborate on this, my dear friend. This is very important. Please try to understand. We cannot speak this very publicly to the newer devotees, but for seasoned and experienced and senior devotees, like all of you, this point, all of us, I'm not senior, but for devotees who have been in practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, this point has to be understood. As we become more and more serious in Krishna consciousness, we will lose taste for excessive economic development and sense gratification. This is a fact. In the corporate world where we work, my dear friends, we need to have rajas. We need to have passion to go ahead, to climb up the corporate ladder. Absolutely, we need it. We have to be sincere in our work. We have to have certain passion to get the project completed, to lead the team, to show that we are great, so we can climb up, get promotions, get appreciated, and to be successful. And then will come bonus, salary hike, more job opportunities, more challenging and rewarding jobs. Hare Krishna. Jobs where we can show our creativity, our dynamism, higher salary, better packages, bigger city, greater responsibility, greater challenges, but greater rewards. Sounds exciting. Hare Krishna. But my dear friends, the fact is, if we are going deeper in Krishna consciousness, we will become more and more detached from the deer of Bharat Maharaj. This is a fact. Bharat Maharaj was distracted in his bhajan by the deer who was living with him. It started with compassion. Oh, who will take care of this baby deer? Helpless. Let me take to my ashram. The mother deer has died. So let me give this deer milk from the cow that I have in my ashram. Then when the deer grew up, some tender grass. Then when Bharat Maharaj would be doing his puja, he used kusha grass. This deer would come and start eating that kusha grass, because the deer like to eat grass. And the deer would contaminate the offering of Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj would chastise the deer. Hey, you polluted the paraphernalia of my worship for my Vasudev Shaligram Shila. And the deer would get very scared and sit down motionless. And seeing that the deer has become frightened, Bharat Maharaj's heart would melt and he would call the deer, come, come, beta, come, come. You are innocent. You are just an animal. You don't understand what is pavitra, what is apavitra. Come, no problem. There are no sins for a deer. You come, come, sit near me. Like that. When Bharat Maharaj would sleep at night, the deer would come and put its head on his chest and sleep. Sometimes in the middle of his puja, Bharat Maharaj would look left and right and realize that the deer is nowhere to be seen. Oh, has the deer wandered off in the forest? Some wild animal, some wolf, some tiger, leopard will attack it and kill it. Bharat Maharaj would get up from his puja, leave the puja halfway, and go to check on the deer. And then Bharat Maharaj would see that, oh, the deer is just grazing outside the ashram. And he would feel peaceful. And then he would come and resume his puja. But he would interrupt his service to Shaligram Shilas because of the deer. In this way, the deer would distract Bharat Maharaj. But when he came as Jada Bharat, when he came as deer in his next birth, he had full remembrance of his mistakes and he was repentant. And therefore, he gave up the association of his mother, mother deer, and came to the ashram of Pulaharishi, near Gandaki, in the area where Shaligram Shilas are found, and lived there near the ashram of sadhus, associating with sadhus, eating their remnants, not mating with a female deer, remained a deer but brahmachari, and lived and died in the association of sadhus. In the next birth, because he died in the association of sadhus, he was born as a son of a Brahmin. He got a pious birth because he had so much Sukriti. But as Jada Bharat, he was very careful not to get entangled in any distractions. Any glorification, any distinction, any praise, any allurements, any respect. He wanted nothing. So he pretended to be deaf and dumb. And also very unintelligent, low IQ. For 6 months, his father tried to teach him the Gayatri Mantra. And Jada Bharat could not memorize. He would say it all wrong. Can you imagine, my dear friends, just put yourself in Jada Bharat's position. He is a self-realized Mahabhagavat. He has attained the platform of Bhav. He's a very, very great devotee. Far, 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 far greater than any of us can imagine. A very exalted devotee. He is a fully self-realized Mahabhagavat, a Paramhamsa, and he's pretending not to know the Gayatri Mantra. We may not even know the complete verse, but still we try to show to others that I know this verse. We'll say a few lines, few words, trying to show that, oh, I know this verse. Jada Bharat knew everything, but still he was showing that he cannot memorize Gayatri Mantra. He would do everything wrong. His father would tell him, teach him, "Arey, at least be clean, Baba. You are my son. Be clean. Go, evacuate. Answer nature's call and then wash yourself. Wash your hands. Take a bath." And Jada Bharat would go, wash his hands, take his bath, and then sit and pass stool, evacuate. And after evacuating, he would not wash himself. He would do everything opposite. Why? Because he did not want any appreciation, glorification and prestige. Son of a Brahman, such a deeply realized spiritualist, he could have become the greatest scholar, greatest pandit, greatest acharya, greatest guru of his time. Previous birth he was Bharat Maharaj, son of personality of Godhead Rishabhdev. So as Jada Bharat, he could have amassed disciples, so much pride, prestige, fame. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, "Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmaneshware bhavatad bhakti rahaituki tvai." I just want bhakti. I don't want anything else. And Jada Bharat was determined. He had made mistakes in his past. He had fallen down. He had received the punishment. Now he did not want to fall down again. He was very determined. And he was repentant. Repentant as a deer. Even the deer body he was repenting. And even as Jada Bharat he was repenting. Very careful not to get trapped again. So he pretended to be a fool so that nobody will glorify him. And everybody made fun of him. They would throw stones at him. They would spit on him. And he never retaliated. Just imagine. Never retaliated. And when his father died, oh, Jada Bharat was the son of a Brahman. That Brahman had two wives. And Jada Bharat was the son of the younger wife. So his half-brothers, the sons of the older wife of Jada Bharat's father, they ill-treated him so much. So much. The only person who had shown some care and concern for Jada Bharat was his father. And his father also died in due course of time. And now Jada Bharat, pretending to be deaf and dumb, he is at the mercy of his half-brothers. They hated him. They were embarrassed of him. In our family, this fool has taken birth. Everybody makes fun of him. They would feed him rotten food, decomposed food. Imagine, Jada Bharat, such a great devotee, always wanting to eat Krishna Prasad. He is being given rotten food to eat. And somehow he would eat that without complaining. They would make him work. "You fool, if you want to eat, you must work. You must work." Even to get that rotten food, he had to work very hard. Jada Bharat took all those ill treatments as a reaction for his sinful activities and aparad, seva aparad that he had performed as Bharat Maharaj without complaining. Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam ridavak vapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetyo mukti padesa dayabhak. They would tell him, you are useless. You don't know how to do anything right. Therefore, we will give you the job to stand as a scarecrow in the field. Just stand there as a scarecrow in the field to scare away all the birds and animals so that our crops are not destroyed. You stand there all day, then we'll give you some rotten, foul-smelling food at night to eat. And then after eating that, no sleeping. You go back to the fields. At night, the wild boars come and eat all the crops. So you sit there awake. And you've got a strong body. You don't have any brains, but you have a strong body. You sit and you scare away all the wild boars. Make sure they don't eat. And if they eat the crop, on your guard, we will beat you up. This is how Jada Bharat was treated. And he was sitting one night. And there were some tribals living in the forest. And their leader, he wanted to have a son, so that he'll get more enjoyment from his son. And his nefarious activities will continue. Why do you want children, my dear friends? Why do people want children? Think about it. Americans, Africans, Australians, Indians, Chinese, Russians, everywhere, South Americans, whoever we are, we want children. The natural history, life cycle of a human being is get the protection of parents in the childhood, get all the facilities, enjoy your youth, get married, enjoy sexual life, and boom, produce children. Why produce children? So that the children will give us happiness. The only reason we produce children is with that hope, subconscious desire, that, oh, this child will give me happiness. When I am dead, he will do pindadan, he will do shraddha, so I will not go to hell. Even if we don't have such a far-sighted vision, at least we think, oh, he'll be a small boy, he'll play, small girl, she will play, so cute, they will love me, my children will love me, and by loving me, they will give me happiness. In my old age, they will take care of me and give me happiness. The reason we produce children is so that the children will give us happiness. Just see our human psychology. We are looking for happiness in this world somehow or the other. Through money, through children, through friends. My friends will give me happiness. They will understand me. They will hang out with me. We will have fun. We'll play together. Enjoy my senses. All I want is enjoy my senses. And these are all different instruments to enjoy. My money is one instrument. My children, my friends, my family. Enjoy. My money will give me prestige, mental enjoyment, distinction, appreciation. Oh, what beautiful marriage photographs. Ah, ha, ha. People glorify us. You are looking so handsome and your bride is looking so beautiful. Ah, ha, ha. We feel, yes, my life is successful. I have got a beautiful life partner. Yes, I made it. I made it. The aim of life is to enjoy the beauty. Aim of life is to be respected by everyone. Wow, you are successful. You are wealthy. Thumbs up. You made it. We want certificates from everybody. That gives us mental happiness. So we are just looking to gratify our six senses somehow or the other. So this tribal leader wanted a son so he could enjoy. And for that he wanted to do a human sacrifice for Bhairavi, Durga Devi. It was a very bad human sacrifice. It was supposed to be sacrifice of a human being, but not a good human being. Why sacrifice a good human being? Sacrifice somebody who has got a beautiful human body, perfect human body, but who is foolish like an animal, low IQ. Foolish like an animal. A very dumb person. Sorry, I'm using harsh words, but the Bhagavatam describes it like that. Just for us to understand. This is a fact. This is what the tribal leader was looking for. A human being with a perfect body, no deformities, but very, very foolish like an animal. Not very intelligent at all. So they found such a person. And they brought that person to be slaughtered in front of Kali. And somehow or the other, this person who was going to be sacrificed, the man-animal, escaped. Hare Krishna. And now it was the night when the sacrifice was supposed to be performed, and just before the sacrifice, the person has, the sacrificial man-animal has escaped. So the leader of the tribe tells all his supporters and followers, servants, go and fetch another man-animal. They are going and searching to get somebody for the sacrifice. And in the field, on an elevated place, they see this foolish man called Jadabharat, apparently foolish, sitting. Jadabharat was sitting there in deep bhav, internally meditating on Krishna, praying to Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna, offering his love internally to Krishna. He's sitting there in a spiritual trance, doing his bhajan all night, happily. And the tribals see him. They came and they captured him. And they brought him before the leader of the tribals. He inspected Jadabharat and approved. Yes, he is a man animal. Let us slaughter him. Let us prepare his body by decorating and everything. And then let's slaughter him in front of Durga. And as they were about to slaughter, Durga Devi appeared from her deity. Just see. The deity is the personality. The deity of Krishna is Krishna. So here, Durga Devi appeared from her deity. And with her many weapons, she chopped off the head of the pujari, the so-called pujari, who was going to perform this human sacrifice of Jadabharat. Then she beheaded the leader of the tribals who wanted to do the sacrifice. And then started fighting with all those powerful tribals, and in no time killed them. Chopped off their hands, their legs, their necks. Just murdered all of them mercilessly and chastised them. And from Durga Devi's body, many of her associates came. And they also killed the remaining tribals who wanted to attack Jadabharat. And Durga Devi was chastising them. You rascals, you are committing such Vaishnava Aparad. You are trying to kill Jadabharat. He is such a dear devotee of Krishna, who is my Lord. Never dare to touch him. And she just killed all of them. And her associates also killed everybody. And when everybody who wanted to attack Jadabharat was killed and dead, the associates of Durga Devi started drinking the blood from these criminals, these dead tribals. And then they started playing ball with their heads. Started kicking their heads, throwing, catching. They were playing like balls with the heads, the beheaded heads of these tribals who tried to harm Jadabharat, teaching the world how serious Vaishnava Aparad is. And Jadabharat did not accept any praise, glorification, that, oh, for me, Durga Devi appeared. Nothing. He just went on with his duties. And then as Providence had it, again, an opportunity. One day, the king, Maharaj Rahugana, was going to the ashram of Kapil Muni. And on his way, one of the four persons carrying his palanquin fell sick. So could not carry. So they had to find a substitute. and they did not have a substitute. Just see how Krishna arranges things. And the three palanquin carriers were looking for their fourth teammate. And who to find now? The king has to be transported. And suddenly in the field they saw this man. He was very strongly built, but he appeared quite useless, quite foolish. But they thought that carrying the palanquin is not a very skilled job. Anybody can do it. You don't need a degree or a diploma for that. Let's call him. So they called Jadabharat and told him, just help us carry the palanquin of the king. It's a very important job. And Jadabharat was amanina manadena, not expecting any respect. He was very humble, very meek, always giving respect to others. So he agreed to do that service. And he joined the other three. And four of them started carrying the palanquin of Maharaja Rahugana. But in the forest, there were many insects and ants. So Jadabharat, he had fallen down from his spiritual practice as Bharat Maharaj due to a deer. He had given up his kingdom, his family members, his friends, his wealth, everything, his position, title, everything. But a mere deer, a simple deer, caused him to fall down from his spiritual position. So Jadabharat was very careful not to get attached to anybody. But that doesn't mean he was angry with the animals, or he was inimical to the animals, or he didn't care about them. An animal had made him fall down from his spiritual position. But still, Jadabharat was not inimical to the animals and insects. He understood it is my own foolishness. He prayed actually as Jadabharat that I fell down because of my own carelessness, my own foolishness. I became so attached to the deer that I neglected my duties. So Jadabharat was not envious or hateful towards animals and insects, even though he had a past history with them. Rather, he wanted to save them, protect them, not kill them. So as he was carrying the palanquin, he would take three steps. One, two, three, and then he would stop to look for any ants or insects on the ground, any visible living entities. He didn't want to trample on them. He didn't want to kill them. It's not like there were ants or there were insects. He was stopping to see if there were any ants or insects out of precaution. So he would take three steps and he would stop. Look down. Inspect. Look ahead. Three steps worth of land he would inspect ahead. Then again take three steps. Again stop. Inspect 3 feet land ahead. Again take three steps. Again stop. This became very irritating for the palanquin carriers and for the king. Because imagine, it's a teamwork. Four people have to carry, they have to walk at the same pace. If one person suddenly stops, the other three also lose their balance and the palanquin shakes and King Rahugana becomes inconvenienced. So the palanquin carriers gave him dirty looks. Hey, what are you doing? Carry properly. You know? But Jadabharat could not compromise on his spiritual standards. He had to look down to make sure he is not trampling on other innocent living entities. Rahugana chastised him. What are you doing? You are carrying the palanquin of the king. Be careful. Do it properly. Don't stop every three steps. And again, Rahugana settled down and the palanquin sat down. And the palanquin carriers continued. But again, Jadabharat took three steps and stopped. Three steps and stopped. And it was disturbing the palanquin. Finally, Rahugana Maharaj got down and started chastising Jadabharat. First, he was sarcastic with him. Oh, intelligent one, don't you know how to carry a palanquin? He knew that Jadabharat is fool, number one, apparently. But he sarcastically glorified him, Rahugana. But Jadabharat did not mind it. And then Rahugana started chastising. You need to be punished, you fool. You don't know how to treat your king. But Jadabharat, he gave very wonderful instructions to Maharaja Rahugana. Today you are saying that you are king. Who is king and who is servant? Today you are the king, I am the servant. Tomorrow I may become the king. And you may become the servant. Jadabharat was speaking from realization. because in the previous birth he was the king. Hare Krishna. Just see, he was the king, but now he had become servant. So he's teaching Rahugana, don't be proud of your position and power and wealth. You are the king, yes, but you can lose it in this life. If not this life, definitely next life you are going to lose it. At time of death, Mrutyu Sarva Harascham. Time of death, everything will be taken away. So Rahugana in this way instructs him very nicely in the truth, absolute truth. And Rahugana, who was such a powerful, well-learned king, and he thought Jadabharat is a fool with no intelligence, the instructions of Jadabharat were so exalted, so mystic, so great, so difficult to understand, so high level, so high class, that Rahugana, being the king of the world, having the best education, could not understand the speech, the eloquent speech of Jadabharat. And Rahugana was completely humbled. He humbly requests Jadabharat, please explain again. I could not understand. I could not follow. It was too difficult for me, too high class for me. Then Jadabharat simplified and spoke the instructions again. That's the next chapter. Again, Rahugana did not understand properly. He said, please explain in even more simpler words. See how Rahugana was being humbled by Krishna through Jadabharat. Then Jadabharat speaks the third chapter of his instructions and makes it even more simpler. Then Rahugana understands. So just see, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Jadabharat gives essentially the same instructions to Rahugana three times, because Rahugana did not understand them first and second time. But Rahugana had the humility to admit in front of his other servants that he could not understand. Please repeat, I am fool. I cannot understand. It's too high level for me. So Rahugana had humility. Similarly, if we don't understand anything, we should clarify it from our superiors. Not just harbor some doubts in our hearts. That doesn't help. And it was also the greatness of Jadabharat to maintain patience and explain it to Rahugana until he understood. Sometimes when devotees ask us questions, we tend to make fun of them. You don't understand this. Oh, let me explain. Or we take great pride in explaining to others. Not like that. That is not the mood of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is not the mood of our Gurugan. That is not the mood of Jadabharat. He patiently explained with humility. And Rahugana understood and he offered obeisances to Jadabharat. Not just Jadabharat. Rahugana said, I offer obeisances to all the sadhus, all the avadhuts like you who are moving around in this planet, on this planet. Nobody knows their greatness, but they are very great devotees. I offer obeisances to all of them because as a king, as a kshatriya, as a person of the royal family, we are very proud and arrogant and we are constantly offending the great without understanding their greatness. Hare Krishna. This is very important. When we had gone for Vrindavan Yatra last month, we experienced this. There are so many great sadhus. You are just at Radhakund, gone there to chant some rounds, offer obeisances, do achaman or take a bath, whatever the case may be. If we just look around, there are so many sadhus, they just appear like common people. None of them are common people. They're very, very great personalities. I met one very great person there at Radhakund. Nobody knows him. He just wears kopin and gamcha. Just two pieces of cloth, nothing else. Comes to Radhakund every day to take a bath. And he's got a very small place to stay, almost like a very tiny. Our kitchens are bigger than his entire place. He stays in a very small place, small room, with no windows. It's like a closet, you know. How in America we have walk-in closets? Very small, not the big walk-in closets, smaller walk-in closets. His place of residence is like that, next to Radhakund. Very small. His name is Jamuna Jivan Prabhu. Jamuna Jivan Prabhu. He's an ISKCON devotee. Nobody has heard of him. He's from Canada. White body. He served for many years in Vancouver Temple. He wanted to go deeper in his Krishna consciousness. He left everything and came to Vrindavan. He had some doubts. Prabhupada came in his dream and answered all his doubts. Even today, he just hears Prabhupada's lectures. He has a small machine. Prabhupada's tape is constantly playing in his room. And all his only possession is a small Giriraj Shila. He has a photograph of Prabhupada, a machine of Prabhupada's japa and kirtan. And he has some 10 or 12 lectures in one CD. Just one CD. Some 12 lectures of Prabhupada. And somebody donated him a very small, very simple CD player. Like a Walkman with a CD player. He just listens to those 12 lectures of Prabhupada over and over again. He hears Prabhupada's japa and kirtan. And he has his Tulsi Japamala and bead bag. And he chants more than 3 lakh names every day. More than 200 rounds every day. He is doing it for over 25 years now. Can you imagine? 10 years, he was the main pujari at Kusum Sarovar, the small temple in Vrindavan in Kusum Sarovar. He was the pujari of that temple in Kusum Sarovar, where so many leelas of Krishna took place, very beautiful place. He served there for 10 years, and he was praying to Krishna, praying to Radharani, do what it takes to purify me. Just do what it takes to purify me, and purify me. I want to become purified, so that I can serve you nicely, and please you nicely. He would pray to Prabhupada like that. Do what it takes, but purify me. I want to serve you nicely. As long as I am contaminated, I cannot serve you. And then one day, dacoits came to Kusum Sarovar. And there is a small hundi there, where pilgrims, they put some Lakshmi, some donation. They told him, give us the key. We want to take away all the wealth that is there. We are dacoits. And Jamuna Jivan Prabhu very humbly told them, please, this is not my money, this is Radharani's money. I am her servant. How can I betray my Radha Krishna? How can I betray them by giving you the key to the hundi? It is their money. It is not my money. It is not your money. Everything belongs to Radha and Krishna. So I will not give you. And as their pujari, I will protect their property. Now here are 10 gundas, dacoits, armed with choppers, knives, sticks, and they severely beat up Jamuna Jivan Prabhu at Kusum Sarovar. It was at night, there was nobody there, he used to live alone. For a couple of hours, they were kicking and punching and beating him with sticks, that he will give them the key. They were torturing him. And Jamuna Jivan Prabhu was just thanking Radha and Krishna for this, thanking Prabhupada for this. Oh, this is the answer to my prayers. I had prayed, do what it takes to purify me. I have got so much karma, bad karma, that this is what Krishna is doing to purify me of my karma. This is very nice. I am getting purified. I am getting punished in Vraj. What can be better than that? In that condition, he was praying like this. Then the dacoits got so angry. They said, we are going to burn you. And they created a mashal, like a torch. And with those flames, they started burning him. They burned his chest, they burned his shoulders. And Jamuna Jivan Prabhu showed me those scars, those burn injuries. They were burning him. They said, we are going to burn you to death. Tell us. Where is the money? A lot of pilgrims come here. They donate a lot of money. You are a white person, American. You must be having a lot of money. Come on, give up. Give us the money. Where is the money? Tell us. They were burning him mercilessly. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just crying out to Krishna. No anger towards his attackers. Rather, he was grateful. He said, oh Krishna, you work through your instruments. These dacoits are agents of my own karma. Why should I curse them? Why should I blame them? it is good that they have come so that my karma will get burnt slowly. So let it happen. Na chao, na chao, Prabhu, na chao se mate. He was praying. Then they got so angry, they took out knives. And they told Jamunajan, so they tied him first. They tied his hands and they said, we will chop off your genitals. Imagine. Such a threat. They were horrible people. Very merciless. That we'll leave you here. We'll allow you to bleed to death. We will not give you a quick death, easy death. We'll torture you. You tell us where the money is. We want the money. And he wouldn't tell them. He wouldn't give them. This is Radharani's money. I will not betray her. This is Shriji's money. I will not betray Shri Radhika. Radha Krishna. I will not betray them. I will not betray Prabhupada. Not give. You can do what you want. Same mood as Haridas Thakur. Handa khanda haya yadi jaya yadi pran. Tabe ame na chadi bo Shri Harinam. Haridas Thakur said, you can chop my body to pieces. Kill me. But I will not give up the holy name. Similarly, Jamuna Jivan Prabhu. These are living devotees. Our contemporary devotees. He said, you can kill me, you can do what you want, but I will not betray Radha Krishna. I will not betray Srila Prabhupada. Finally, they just left him there and went away. They said, okay, maybe he really doesn't have any money. And they just left. Then after that, Jamuna Jivan Prabhu, after some time, they found another pujari and he was very sick. You know, his bones were broken. He had burn injuries. He had to be treated in the hospital there in Vrindavan. They had to find a substitute pujari. So somebody else took over. By the time he recovered, came out of the hospital, that job was gone. That service was gone at Kusum Sarovar. So he came to Radhakund. I have no service now. I will just sit and chant. He just chants. He showed me how he chants. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just continuously he's chanting. Keeping a photograph of Prabhupada in front of him. In that small closet. In Kartik, he had taken a vrat to chant almost, you know, more than, I don't even want to say, because it may be difficult to believe, but a lot of rounds, much, much more than 200 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He sleeps only for 1.5 hours every day. He's very thin, just skin and bones, very austere. Just sleeps for 1.5 hours. And 22.5 hours, he is doing his bhajan. Only once he will get up to go to Radhakund to take bath. He's, you know, bath 3 times a day. And that's it. He's just chanting there, sitting and chanting, 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 chanting. And if anybody comes to him, he will give advice on Naam Bhajan. He will give practical tips. I asked him how to control lust. I am very much tormented by lusty desires. I've been in Krishna consciousness for so many years, but lust is not going away. I'm almost 40 years old now. Still, lust is not going away. I just opened my heart to him. And then he instructed me almost 30 minutes how to overcome lust. Gave me very practical tips. Then I asked him, how can I reduce my sleep? Sleeping for 6 hours. How can I reduce my sleep? That way I can do more bhajan. He told me, you eat the right type of prasad and in the right quantity, less quantity. He said, too much sleep is often because of overeating. He said, we eat so much and then we become lazy. We have to sleep to digest that. So he said, don't overeat and eat the right kind of food. I said, what do you mean right kind? He said, your body will tell you. Certain foodstuffs suit us, certain foodstuffs don't suit us. So he said, it's trial and error. Figure out what suits you. But he said, the best is, you know, simple. Raj roti, moong dal and rice, some khichdi, simple food, some vegetables, some fruits, some ahimsa milk. Simple food is best, he said. And that you eat in just the enough quantity required to maintain yourself. But don't put on weight, don't become fat, don't overeat. That way you will be sleeping. That is one. So he said, don't overeat. Excessive sleep is because of overeating and eating opulent foodstuffs. Specifically told me, don't eat spicy and, you know, hot foodstuffs. They are in the mode of passion. Don't eat. Eat simple sattvic food and less quantity. That way, he said, you will be, you will not feel very sleepy. And secondly, he said, excessive sleeping is because of excessive anxiety and worry. People worry about their retirement balance, bank balance, their children, their job. So many things we worry about. You know, the household things that need to be taken care of. So he said, all these worries and anxieties, they build up and they make us lazy and sleepy. And we end up sleeping more. So he said, two reasons for excessive sleep. Eating the wrong types and quantity of food. And number two, having too much anxiety and worry in life. He said, give up anxiety and worry. Just depend on Krishna. Do your duties, but depend on Krishna. Don't hold on to anxieties and worries. And eat less and eat simple Krishna prasad. That way, you will be able to overcome excessive sleepiness. He said, imagine if you can get away by sleeping less, you can add that many more hours to your Naam Bhajan. You can do more japa. You can do more kirtan. You can read more. Imagine, because we have only 24 hours. We have to take care of our children. We have to take care of our job, our spouse, parents. Those responsibilities we have to fulfill. The only place where we can cut corners is where we are wasting time, like watching news, Facebook, WhatsApp, you know, all these things. Gossiping with friends, talking unnecessarily to colleagues, staying after office, chit-chatting, that's waste of time. Or chatting during lunch break where we can quickly take prasadam and get back to work so we can finish on time. So all this, or even if you have to stay in the office, read something, open the Veda base, read Prabhupada's books, or listen to some lecture, or chant a few rounds. I chant so many times in my lunch break. Chant in the car also. Those are extra rounds. Like that. So we should not waste time. So like that, he gave practical tips. So the point I was trying to make is there are such great souls like Jamuna Jeevan Prabhu everywhere. We just have to identify them, recognize them, and offer our respects and learn from them. Prabhupada has given us so many gems all around us. So we have to identify our Gurugan, our teachers, and learn from them. This is what all the stories of Bhagavatam are teaching us. Then in the end of the purport, Prabhupada is saying, one who is spiritually advanced can thus understand the real difference between a dead body and a living body. In conclusion, one should not waste his time by so-called economic development and sense gratification, but should cultivate spiritual knowledge to understand the super soul and the individual soul and their relationship. In this way, by advancement of knowledge, one can achieve liberation and the ultimate goal of life. It is said that if one takes to the path of liberation, even rejecting his so-called duties in the material world, he is not a loser at all. But a person who does not take to the path of liberation, yet carefully executes economic development and sense gratification, loses everything. Narad's statement before Vyasdev is appropriate in this connection. Tyaktva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan apakvo thapate tato yadi yatra kvava bhadram abhudamushakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmatah. Bhagavatam 1.5.17. If a person out of sentiment or for some other reason takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and in due course of time does not succeed in coming to the ultimate goal of life or falls down due to lack of experience, there is no loss. But for a person who does not take to devotional service yet executes his material duties very nicely, there is no gain. Very important point. So I will repeat, if a person takes to Krishna consciousness but because of immaturity falls down, there is no loss. Neha vikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpamapihi dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. There is no loss or diminution in Krishna consciousness. Whatever advancement, whatever chanting, whatever sankirtan we have done, that will stay with us eternally to our credit. Whereas material accomplishments don't. They are lost. So if I start PhD but I die, I will not get a degree of PhD. The next life, forget starting from
first year of PhD, I have to start from kindergarten in my next birth, if I get a human birth. So material accomplishments are all lost at death. But spiritual accomplishments are never lost. That is a very important point. Therefore, with full faith and enthusiasm, we should take to Krishna consciousness. Another very important instruction that Yamuna Jivan Prabhu told me, which many of our teachers have all told us time and again, is to not criticize anybody. He told me again and again, don't commit Vaishnavapra, don't criticize, don't criticize. I asked him sometimes, I am not criticizing, but somebody is telling me criticism of other devotees, what to do? He said, even by hearing, you will be contaminated and you will fall down. Either you tell that devotee not to criticize, stop the criticism and glorify that devotee, or you just excuse yourself, say, I don't want to hear Vaishnava Ninda, and you just walk away from there. These are the two options you have. If you just stand and continue to listen to criticism of a devotee, you will fall down, he told me. You will fall down. Very much he was emphasizing. He said, we don't make spiritual advancement in spite of following the morning program and listening to so many lectures, reading so many books, chanting so many rounds, is because we spoil everything by criticizing devotees or hearing the criticism of devotees or associating with people who are sense gratifiers, eating food cooked by them. All these things, they contaminate us and make our progress very difficult. So like that, we should remember these important tips and we should carry on with enthusiasm and determination. Utsaha nischaya dhairya tat tat karma pravartana. Sangha tyaga sato vritti shadbir bhakti prasiddhati. Rupa Goswami gives us 6 processes of making advancement. So we should be enthusiastic, determined, follow in the footsteps. In ISKCON, my dear friends, I will conclude with this. In ISKCON, in the Vaishnava society, there will be 3 types of devotees. Please, let us be honest. We don't have to talk about them like this, but in our heart, we can identify and deal with them accordingly. This is not wrong. Even Rupa Goswami describes different categories of devotees in Upadeshamrita. There is the Kanishtha, there is the Madhyam, there is the Uttam. How to deal with Kanishtha, how to deal with Madhyam, how to deal with Uttam. Even Bhagavatam also tells us. So that is not wrong, but criticizing, not respecting, disrespecting devotees, that is Vaishnavaprada. Trying to bring them down, that is Vaishnavaprada. Feeling envy towards them, that is Vaishnavaprada. So we should understand in ISKCON there are 3 types of devotees. There are devotees who are good examples. And there are so many. All our Acharyagan, the whole Parampara system, is filled with devotees who are examples. Acharya means one who teaches by example. So Srila Prabhupada, all the predecessing Acharyas, and our current ISKCON Gurugan. Just look around. In America, just look around. There are so many good examples. There is Jayapataka Swami Maharaj now in America. There is Vaisheshika Prabhu. There is Bhakti Charu Maharaj. There are so many devotees around us. Just name them. So many of them. Good examples. They are the examples that we have to keep focus on. We have to keep thinking about them. Their example. That is the first category. Devotees who are the right examples for us to meditate on. Second category of devotees are devotees who try to be good examples, but they have difficulties because of their previous conditionings. Sometimes they fall down. They again try to come back, again fall down. So they are having difficulty. We should feel for them. We should pray for them. We should encourage them. And when they are rightly situated, we can take inspiration from them also. That is the second category. This includes most of us. We try to be good examples, but we fall short. We have difficulties because of our previous conditionings. The bad habits are so strong, the previous conditionings are so strong that they just come and haunt us even today. The third category is devotees who criticize devotees who are not good examples, honestly. They are not intense in their bhajan, they are not regular in their sadhana, and they criticize devotees. Such devotees we should respectfully avoid and pray for them from a distance. We should not associate with them. We should understand this. 3 types of devotees and how to deal with them. In this way, if we carry on with our Krishna consciousness, we will make good advancement.
and then we will taste Krishna. And once we taste the sweetness of Krishna, then we never want to fall down. We never want to leave, like Jada Bharat, like Vritrasur. So many examples there. Like Ajamil, after he developed taste for the holy name. In this way, we should carry on nicely. These are some of the thoughts I wanted to discuss with all of you. It is 8:59, so I will stop here. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Does anyone have any questions or comments, please?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for sharing all your yatra nectar. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Danvat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Very, very wonderful and instructive class, Prabhuji, for myself. So I have actually two questions, but I'll start with the first one. Like in this verse, there is this component, like when you mentioned that when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, then this sense gratification and economic development, that should become dull for us. So, and you gave very nice examples with like day-to-day stories. My question is that like when we practice Krishna, I mean, I can say for myself, when practicing Krishna consciousness, the gross sense gratification thing, it's easy to give up. But when it comes to the subtle level sense enjoyment, like, you know, subtle level, I could say for myself, like, even though I don't want it, but there is this fruitive mentality so much sticky, like tar, that it comes even in devotional services, like, for example, the desire to get honor or respect or some kind of recognition. So how to get rid of that tendency, even though I don't want it, but still it is there at some subtle level deeply?
Hare Krishna. Is this Kasturi Manjari Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So Mataji, this is a fact. Whatever you said, it is very true that giving up gross things like meat eating, gambling, alcohol, cigarettes, that is, even onion, garlic, that is very easy. It's not a problem. But to give up the subtle anarthas, like attachment to money, attachment to sense gratification, even in a sattvic way, like overeating. It is so difficult to give up overeating. Just think about it. How many times in our life do we overeat? You know, enough. We have eaten the two chapatis, little rice, but now we want more, you know, just because it's a special vegetable. I do it so many times. It's a fall down. So all these subtle anarthas, the desire for appreciation, glorification, recognition, respect. Devotee should respect. I'm giving class. When I walk into the assembly, devotee should respect me. That desire for respect is there. These are all anarthas. They are unfavorable for bhakti. Because Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. All our acharyas are so humble. Narottamas Thakur is crying in humility. Mosama Patita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Amara Jivana, Sada Papirata, Nahi Ke Punnera Lesha. All the acharyas of Prabhupada, Bhakti Nahi, Veda Nahi, you know, all our acharyas are crying out of humility, genuine humility. So how to get that? How to get rid of the subtle anarthas? That is your question. Mataji, there are two ways to do it. One is having a very prayerful and sincere sadhana. Before we start our chanting, we have to pray for purification. We have to pray for pure devotional service. And then start our Naam Bhajan. And never stop at 16. Nobody should chant just 16 rounds. Nobody. Everybody who is listening to this lecture, nobody should chant just 16 rounds. Not a single day. Ever. In the future. Never. We must chant more rounds. 18, 20, 25, 32. More. we must increase our naam bhajan. That is the sign of sincerity. Why can't we do it? It's a mental hang up that, oh, I have promised 16 rounds. For years and years, I had that mental hang up. Sola mala, 16 rounds. Because we're just conditioned. It's a conditioning. But we have to just break. We should have a vow like this, that before 7 a.m., my 16 rounds should be done. And then rest of the day, I will chant extra rounds. And we should have a target for that also. And we don't have to talk about it. We don't have to disclose it. Otherwise, we may have difficulty if we talk about, brag about our bhajan. So first is, we should have very prayerful and sincere bhajan. By that, I mean quality and quantity. Chanting extra rounds, beyond 16 rounds every day, not just on Ekadashi. Every single day. Whatever number we choose, 20 rounds or 32 rounds, whatever we have decided, it has to be done every day. That should be our new mental thing, not 16, like that. So quantity and quality. Quality means the chanting should be very prayerful. We must pray for purification. We will not be able to get rid of the subtle anarthas until we desperately pray to get rid of these subtle anarthas. Subtle anartha nivritti will not happen until and unless we pray and cry to Krishna for it. So first is prayerful sadhana. Quality and quantity, both we have to increase. Go deep in the quality and go high in the quantity without telling others. Because if we tell, then pride will come. That is one. And second is, whenever you get a chance, in a respectful way, without embarrassing anybody, without telling anybody, take the dust from the lotus feet of devotees. I will tell you. Sometimes when devotees come home, they are staying. I take dust from their lotus feet, from their shoes. The shoes are kept in the garage. But every time while coming and going, I go to the hospital, I pick up their sandals, put them on my head, smear the dust. And then I go. When I come back, before entering the house, again, it's a nice opportunity. We are not troubling them. We are not embarrassing them. We are not touching them. Their shoes are there. We are just putting their shoes. We have to make sure that our head is clean. We have had a head bath. Because we don't want to contaminate their sandals. So, nice, fresh head bath. After taking, I'm going to the hospital garage, there is a sandal. I just take the sandal, put them on the head. Mukunda Prabhu, Radharaman Maharaj, all these devotees are there. Whenever you get opportunity, in a very Vaishnava way, in a very secret way, take the dust from the lotus feet of devotees. If you know that some devotee has walked here, just take the dust and put it on your head. Bhakta Pada Dhuliyara Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Abhashe Shaitina Mahabal. We have heard the story of Kalidas. You were there when we discussed the story of Kalidas last year. What a beautiful story from Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I love this story. So much hope-giving. Mataji, I will tell you, remember I was telling last time that in one of the classes I spoke about, you know, 64 rounds, and after that I had so much difficulty. For almost two and a half months I could not chant my Sankhya. And I became desperate every time Prithi Vilasini Mataji would tell me, Prabhuji, can you give Chaitanya Charitamrita class? I would pray secretly that she doesn't call me, she doesn't message me, doesn't ask me. I'm not qualified to give classes. You know, I'm just such a pretender. But then I would think that when I give the class, I'm meditating on Krishna, I'm thinking about Krishna, I'm reading about Krishna, I'm speaking about Krishna. So let me do it for my purification as a service to all the devotees. And I was coming on the calls. But internally, I was completely broken. Completely ashamed of myself and broken. Then when Mukundat Prabhu came, Radharaman Maharaj came to our house, Gaurang Prabhu came, I would secretly take dust from their shoes and put it on my head. Maybe I should not talk like this. I don't know. But I'm just speaking from my heart. And everybody, when Radharaman Maharaj came, I fell at his feet. Radharaman Maharaj is a very senior devotee. He served Prabhupada also. He is the younger brother of Srila Radha Govind Maharaj. He lives in Vrindavan. Very, very, very pure soul. Very wonderful soul. I asked him, Prabhuji, for the last 1-2 months, I don't know what mistake I have done, but the monkey of lust is sitting on my back. Constantly I'm getting lusty thoughts. Constantly I'm getting lusty desires. I'm going mad. Maharaj, it has never happened to me like this. This is worse than before coming to Krishna consciousness, and now I am Brahmin initiated and still I am getting such low thoughts, such low desires. It's horrible. Bhaktidhir Damodar Maharaj came. I was praying to him. It was a horrible period of my life. June, July 2019. I will never forget. Never forget. Nothing was working. I was chanting my rounds attentively. 20 rounds I would not get up in the morning. One position I would sit and chant. I would pray. I would do the whole morning program. Mangal Aarti, Tulsi Aarti, Guru Aarti, Shikshashtakam, everything. But this monkey of lust was sitting on my back, my shoulders, constantly screaming in my ears, screaming in my brain. I don't know, it was like a ghost. It was like a ghost. I would take my Tulsi Mala, put it on Tulsi plant, roll it in Tulsi mud, wear it again, that now I will be protected. Now Tulsi Maharani will protect me. I started wearing two Tulsi Malas. I became mad, Mataji. But it was just not going away. But after taking the dust from the lotus feet of devotees, after secretly, without annoying them, without embarrassing them, eating their Mahaprasad from their plate, when they would give me the plate, Mukundan Prabhu has eaten, he would give the plate, okay. And I would take it to the sink and I would just eat that Mahaprasad. I would eat that Mahaprasad. Any sadhu that came, I would do that. And slowly, slowly, it took two and a half months, I realized my mistake, what mistake I did. I begged forgiveness for that. And I vowed Krishna that I will not do this mistake again. Please, please forgive me. Please give me my taste. Please allow me to do my bhajan sincerely. And I took reinitiation from Radhanath Maharaj. I took a tape of Maharaj, he was chanting Hare Krishna Mantra. I put my right ear and I heard it. That now this Hare Krishna Mahamantra should not leave my tongue, should not leave my heart. I was becoming mad, Mataji. I was feeling so embarrassed that these subtle, even gross anarthas are not going. It's so depressing. It's so depressing. I'm almost 40 years old now. I've been doing this since the age of 18. Almost 21, 22 years. And nothing is happening. It was so, so depressing. And on top of that, everybody thinks, oh, very advanced devotee, very nice devotee, very sincere devotee. They are hearing classes. They are hearing the word from a sinful wretch. So bad. Such a disservice. So the second solution is humbly serving devotees in whatever way you can. Whether cooking for them, hosting them in Fort Lauderdale, even sitting and hearing attentively like you do. If possible, eat their Mahaprasad. If possible, take the dust from their sandals and shoes outside without telling anybody. Take the dust. If they have walked, you see them walk on a particular tile of a particular floor, just take that dust when they are not looking. Just take the dust. Because if you ask them, it is very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. And when I met Jamuna Jivan Prabhu, I asked him, Prabhu, you are so pure. You are chanting 5 lakh, 6 lakh, 7 lakh names of Krishna every day. You are chanting almost 400, 500 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. Non-stop you are chanting, practically 23 hours a day. Please have mercy on me. Can I put my head on your lotus feet? Can I put my head on your lotus feet? And he allowed. And 3-4 times I put my head on his lotus feet and took the dust. And then I felt protection. Hare Krishna, Mataji, I am just pouring my heart out. Your question was so sincere. So the two things is, one is sincere sadhana, both quality and quantity wise, to get rid of the anarthas, subtle anarthas. And number two, humbly serving the great devotees of the Lord and keeping the first category of devotees in our focus. Three categories. Devotees who are good example, devotees who are trying to be good example, and devotees who are not good example. Don't gossip about devotees who are category 3, not good devotees. Very tempting to criticize devotees. Usne aisa kiya, usne aisa kiya, he did like that, she did like that. Don't focus on category 3. Pray for category 2 when they are having difficulty. When they are doing well, take inspiration from them and glorify them. But category 1 should be in your focus at all times, Mataji. Category 1 should be in your focus at all times. That is the second solution. Focusing on high-class devotees and serving the devotees, taking dust, eating their remnants. If you get to drink Charanamrut on Vyas Puja, very good. But that fortune is not available. I have had it only once in my life. that fortune, 2003. But these are the two things. One is intense sadhana, sincere sadhana, and two, by serving the great souls, associating with sincere devotees, and keeping your focus on those devotees who are good examples. Then the subtle anarthas can be overcome. I hope this helps. Kasturi Manjari Mataji.
Yes, very much, Prabhu. Thank you very much for sharing your heart, Prabhu. I mean, actually, I'm very fortunate to be on the call and ask this question. I'm very, very grateful to you, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. As usual, very nice instructive points. I request all the devotees to have any, if they have any questions or comments for Prabhuji, they can go ahead.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for the very, very enlightening class. I was waiting to hear about your experiences with Jamuna Jeevan Prabhu. Thank you for talking about that and giving a very, very beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hey Krishna. Thank you, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Ji. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. All your realization is Prabhuji touched to heart. Yes, in childhood, I have seen that my father is taking dust of all the sadhus in Sridham Vrindavan Dham. Every year we are going Sridham Vrindavan Dham. So that time I am laughing, Prabhuji. I don't understand. But today I understand what is the value of the dust of sadhus and Maharaj. Thank you very much. Before that also Kishori Mataji explained, I have seen Radhanath Maharaj is taking dust of Indrajana Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Bhakti Thich Maharaj. So thank you very much. All the realization and the story, how nicely you explain. And Prabhuji, you told not to criticize any Vaishnava. And Prabhuji, our sadhana should be very strong. All points are touched to heart. Dhanvat Pranam, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you so much for your kind words. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one more question. I don't know if you have time for that. It's already 9:15. So
9:15, Mataji. I have been told to keep time.
It's okay. So, yeah, then it's fine, Prabhu. We can just, it's fine.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. You can ask privately also if you want.
I can try to answer
to the best of my ability.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Thank you. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः अनंतकोटिवैष्णवेभ्यो
वेरी नाइस
श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्री साधक दादा प्रभु की जय
ऑल ग्लोरीज टू ऑल ऑफ यू जय श्री प्रभुपाद